You're listening to New Life Church in Richmond Hill, Georgia.
Well, good morning. Good to see you guys. We are going to be going to the book of Genesis this morning, so you don't have to go very far. Actually, you're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 1. That's where we're going. So go to table of contents and turn right, and you'll get there, okay? We had been in a series called Blank Space, and Blank Space was all about creating space for God to move in our lives. And so we spent the last month talking about the different ways and the different areas that we wanted God to move, and creating space and making room, finances, relationships, schedules, time, all that kind of thing we talked about last month. This, I thought was a great way to kind of follow up on that series. And if we're wanting God to move, how is God going to move? And God's going to move by His Holy Spirit. That's how He's going to move. He's going to move through His Holy Spirit. And so over the next few weeks, we're going into a series called Ghost Stories. And no, we're not talking about Casper the Friendly Ghost. We're going to be talking about the Holy Ghost. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and the different ways that the Holy Spirit wants to show up in our life, right? Because that's really what this is about. He is making His presence known everywhere throughout all of creation, in our homes, in our jobs, in our marriages, in our parenting. All these different ways is how the Holy Spirit wants to show up. And so that's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks, which is a series on the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of different backgrounds represented in here. And so when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, those who come from Pentecostal and charismatic churches, they're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about the Holy Ghost, right? And they'll say the Holy Ghost, right? But then you have some that's like, I don't know about all that. Maybe you come from a different background. And you're like, man, you know, that Holy Spirit stuff scares me. And, you know, we're going to treat this biblically, and we're going to treat this the way that I believe that God wants us to walk through this and talk about it truthfully. And so today we're going to Genesis chapter 1. Now, how do you start your day? What does your day start with? Does your day have to start with coffee? Does your day start with bleary eyes? Does it start with messed up hair, bad breath? How does your day start? Does your day start, you know, first off where maybe you pray? Maybe you start checking emails. I don't know. Maybe you're getting up and taking care of babies, pacifiers, right? Trying to find all the stuff that you're looking for. What are the ways that your day starts? And I thought about that last night as I was getting ready for this. And then I thought, how did the first day start? How did the first day there ever was, how did that day start? Because I think that the way that day started actually can be a pattern and a clue to how all the other days need to start, right? And you say, well, that's a tall task, because that first day had a lot packed into it, right? But when we begin to look at exactly what happened, I don't think that that's too far-fetched to think, God, what you did there, I want you to do again, right? And that's what I want us to look at, because I believe that what happened on that first day was there was potential that was called forth. And that's what you and I sometimes we fail to notice. We fail to notice the potential the day holds for us, right? And if we're talking about the first day, right, we understand that there was chaos on that first day of history. There was a lot of chaos. And you say, well, you know what? That's how my day greets me a lot of times, is chaos. Anybody, do you know? You feel like you're living in Genesis chapter 1, right? And you feel like the chaos that just greets you in the morning when it's like, Mommy or Dad. No, it's usually Mom. Right? Come on, ladies. We're being right. Nobody's crying for Dad. They're crying for Mom, right? And so that's how it was at my house. Like, Dad, we love you, but you just really can't help us, right? And so so how does that look? How does that look for you when you start the day? Does your day start with chaos? And do you miss the potential that is there? Because I think we do. I think sometimes we get up and there's a lot that maybe crosses our mind of things that have to happen on a daily basis, the things that we need to get done, the boxes that need to get checked, and we don't necessarily consider the potential that is there for us. We don't consider the potential of what God wants to do in our day. We don't consider maybe the miracle that could be waiting on us. We don't consider the power maybe that the Holy Spirit wants to display in our life on that day. Sometimes we're just thinking Folgers, or we're just thinking, you know, whatever that next thing is that gets us going in the morning, or a hot shower, whatever that is that you start off with. And so I think that there's a lot of potential that maybe gets missed in the mornings when we get up. And that's what was there on the very first day. There was potential. And that's what we see. And I want us to go to Genesis 1, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. We're going to start at the very beginning. And that very first day began with potential as well. And it says this in Genesis 1, 1. It says, in the beginning, and you might could even quote this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the what? Spirit. The Spirit of God was what? Hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And I'm going to stop right there, because just these three verses are packed with so much theology, and there's so many nuggets of wisdom, I think, that are here that we could spend just weeks and weeks and weeks just talking about these first three verses, really those first two verses. And that's really kind of where to start, because when we start here, we find that God is there. In the beginning, God is creating. And what is he doing? God is creating, and who is there with God the Father? There is the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of God doesn't come on the scene in the book of Acts. We think sometimes, well, we think about the Holy Spirit, we think maybe about the book of Acts. We think about the New Testament and what the Holy Spirit does in the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit is there from the get-go. The Holy Spirit is there from day one. The Spirit is there from the very beginning. And we have to acknowledge that and start with this. And the word Spirit, when you look at this, this word Spirit is the Hebrew word ruach. And I want you to say that with me. Say 1, 2, 3. Ruach, all right? 1, 2, 3, ruach, all right? So Hebrew word, yeah, you got to get in there, right? And so Spirit, got to get it out of your spirit, right? It's almost like, ugh. So ruach is the Hebrew word for Spirit. And what it means wind, it means breath, and it can mean Spirit. It can mean the ruach of God, which is the Holy Spirit, right? It can be that big. Or it can be as small as walking outside and like ruach, as the wind is just, the breeze is blowing, right? It's a gentle breeze. It can be that small. Or it can be the whisper of a breath. It can be that small. It can be that gentle, right? Or it could be a hurricane, you know, depending on where we live here. So we get both. So it's this idea that there's breath, there's wind, there's spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there from the very beginning. And before creation takes form, before there's a single word spoken, the Spirit is there. And what's the Spirit doing? He's hovering. The Spirit is hovering, and he's waiting, and he's alive in the darkness. And this there's this idea that you need to kind of get. So when you read Hebrew language, and I am not a Hebrew scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but what I have found out is that the Hebrew language is very pictorial, right? So even the characters of the Hebrew language, they're pictures that tell a story about what that character is wanting you to know about it. And so the Hebrew language, this idea of hovering, it's the idea, I want you to think of a hummingbird. Anybody, do you have hummingbird feeders at your house? And you like, you put the hummingbird feeder out there, and the hummingbirds come, and they're just what? They're just, I mean, they're a 90 to nothing, right? It is, they're just, wings are flapping so fast. And it's like, it almost seems like effortless for them. I break out in a sweat just watching them. But they're effortless, and they're moving around as just kind of this buzz of activity. Right? And that is kind of that idea that you're supposed to get, that picture of this idea of almost like a bird, or maybe even a hummingbird, of this activity that is happening and taking place and hovering over this primordial darkness, right? This kind of this soup of sorts, right? That the Holy Spirit is there, and he's hovering over this, waiting to call forth potential. There's the idea that there is vibration there. That is this idea that there's something happening. That there's this, gives you the idea of maybe like a frequency, right? Something shakes and something vibrates. This is what we kind of get these pictures. And so what does this tell us about God? What does this tell us about God? What does this tell us about God is this. He doesn't wait for order to show up before he does. He doesn't wait for order to show up before he steps in. He's not waiting for things to get cleaned up and things to get set right before he steps in. Actually, that's what God does. He steps into the disorder. And it's always funny to me when I talk to people about church and people who maybe aren't going to church, and they tell me times, and maybe you've said this before in your life, or maybe you've heard somebody say this, hey, I really kind of got to get clean. I got to get things cleaned up before I go to church. Anybody? Right? Have you ever heard that? Or maybe you've ever said that, right? I've heard people say that, well, you know, I got some things in my life I just really need to get straightened up, and my life is just kind of messy, and I really need to kind of get all that kind of cleaned up and straightened up before I go to church. I'm like, nah, dude, this is the picture that God gives us here is he's stepping into the mess. He's not waiting on you to step to him. He's stepping to your mess first. He's stepping to your chaos first. This is where we see the Holy Spirit starting. He doesn't wait for order to show up before he does. He moves first. And where does he move? He moves right into the chaos. And maybe that's where you're at. Maybe your life is Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. That's where you're at right now. Because your life is tohu vavohu, right? It is formless and void. There's like all this chaos that is there. And you say, this is where I'm at. There's dark and there's empty and there's uncertainty. And maybe you can't see God and you can't see what God is doing, but you can know that he's there working. I think that's what we can know. We can know that God steps into the chaos, that God steps into the darkness, and God steps into our mess. And God doesn't show up after the mess. That's where he starts. He starts there. He starts in the mess. He starts in the middle of it, and he begins to call forth the potential that is there, right? And there's great potential there. That's what I think we miss, and we don't see that right here in these first couple verses. We're not seeing, hey, there's potential there. We see, man, there's darkness and there's chaos. But what the Holy Spirit sees there's potential. There's potential for more. And I think some of us need to get that idea that the mess and the chaos that sometimes run our life and ruin our life, right? I believe that God sees more than our chaos. I believe that God sees more than our mess. And somebody will say, hey, I'm just a hot mess, right? Maybe you are right now. But God's not sitting up there just shaking his head. Ah, it's just a hot mess, right? God is saying, there's potential there. There is potential that I want to call out. And so what is that potential in your life that the Holy Spirit sees, that the Holy Spirit wants to call forth? Because God doesn't just show up after the mess. That's where God starts. That's where the Holy Spirit starts. And so the Spirit calls forth order out of chaos. The Spirit begins to bring order to the chaos. What does chapter 1 verse 2 say? The earth was without form and void. And you heard me say this Hebrew phrase just a minute ago. This Hebrew phrase is for formless and void is the phrase tohu vavohu. Tohu vavohu. Isn't that fun? Let's say it together. Right? We're just going, this is like elementary school today. 1, 2, 3. Tohu vavohu, right? You can go to your kids' room and walk in there and just start talking Hebrew to them and say, this room is tohu vavohu. It is chaotic and it is disordered. I'm going to give you that one, parents. That one is free, okay? So it's formless, it's void, and it's not there's nothingness, right? This is not saying there's nothingness in this passage, in this moment. It's saying that what's there is not hospitable. That what's there, it's not. There's nothing thriving. There's nothing really living. You don't have an environment right there in that moment that can sustain life, and it's not inviting for us to live. We can't thrive there at all. We can't survive there. We can't thrive there. And so the Spirit steps into this formless void, this disorder, and this confusion, And he doesn't retreat from it, right? You notice that? He doesn't retreat from the formless and voidness. He moves into it and he transforms it. And that's what the Spirit does. That's what the Spirit does to our tohu vavohu. He moves into it and he begins to call forth order. Creation doesn't happen by chance. Thank you. I'm going to say it again. I believe it that much. Creation is not random. It doesn't happen by chance. It's not accident. You're not here because, hey, some cells decided to get together and collide and something happened and now, boop, here you are, right? You're here by intention. You're here because God had a plan. You're here because God started things in motion. He lit the ignition, right? And got things moving. God is the initiation point of this. He is intentional about what he's doing. And so creation does not unfold by chance. What we do see is it unfolds by rhythm. God creates in a rhythm, right? How many of you guys, you don't have any rhythm at all? All right. Yeah. All right. We're going to get you to come up and dance. All right. You know, the Elaine Bennis, anybody? Seinfeld, right? Some of us, you don't have any rhythm, right? God's got amazing rhythm. The Holy Spirit has amazing rhythm. And what we see is this rhythm that he begins to create with. He creates light. He creates sky. He creates sea. He creates land. And he creates life, right? He is creating, and it's this rhythm of creation. There's day one, and there's day two, and there's day three, right? And there is this process that he is working through. There's this rhythm that we see the Holy Spirit moving through him. The Spirit is what? The Spirit is the rhythm maker. He is the order bringer. It is the steady pulse of creation. That's what we see. We see that the Holy Spirit steps into things and begins to call forth order out of the chaos. He begins to bring forth light out of darkness. The things that were not there, that could not produce a habitat, right? It wasn't suitable to sustain life. The Holy Spirit begins to craft and shape and mold, and it begins to create things that are going to make it so that we can not just survive, but once again, we can thrive in this earth, on this planet. And the Spirit is the rhythm maker. And it's interesting because this is... there's a lot of rabbinic thought, right? A lot of ancient rabbis, they've thought about this, and the thought of and their imagination of creation was not just simply an act of speech. What they think is this, is that it wasn't just God saying, hey, let there be light, that it was possible that God even sang it. Have you thought about that? What if he just didn't say it? What if he sang it? What if God said, let there be light, right? Probably better than that, I hope, right? I'm not God. But how would God have sang it, right? What was that like? How did he call forth life and order out of chaos if he sang it? It's interesting to me how when you start looking at the science of frequencies, and maybe, I don't know if there's any of you guys in here that you've ever worked with frequencies and stuff, and frequencies are interesting. There is this thing called cymatics, and basically it's how they visualize sound, right? And that sounds kind of, how do you visualize sound? Well, cymatics is how you visualize sound, and what they've done is they have what's called Chladni plates, and these Chladni plates, they'll take and they'll put sand on top of these plates. And these plates, they'll place over like a speaker, like a speaker that they're going to put music through or something like that, right? And what they found was this, when they begin to send certain frequencies through the speaker into that, on that Chladni plate, the sand on that plate begins to move. And it doesn't just move randomly. Actually, it begins to move in certain patterns. And the higher the frequency, the more complex the pattern gets. So I want to show you this. I found this video clip a few years ago, and I don't want to show you what this looks like. Thank you. All right, so I find that fascinating that you can take frequencies and begin to send them into sand, liquids, right, these fluids, and all of that begins to take form and shape, right? You say, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? I don't know. I just think it's really cool when you begin to see theology and science and they don't have to fight. Actually, they come together and you see a beautiful picture of how God moves. So whatever that looked like on that first day, if God said it or if God sang it, and creation just began to respond by moving into order and moving into patterns, and things that were unpatterned now had an order to it. Things that were unordered now, they became very ordered and had a form to it. I think that is amazing, and that's a picture of what God does. God didn't just say the word into being. He could have sang the word into harmony. God isn't just waiting for your life to fit perfectly in tune before he starts moving, right? What he's actually doing is he's inviting you to join the song he's already singing. That's what he's asking you to do. Now, some of you guys in here, you have beautiful voices. Some of you guys don't, all right? And I'm sorry, God doesn't want you to sing. Okay, no, I'm kidding. The good news is this: if you can't sing, God invites you still into his song. You know, we have scripture that says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? So, you know, whatever that is, you can do that. But I love that thought of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, this is what we do in creation. We're ordering the chaos. We're bringing light to the darkness. And I want you to join the song of creation, right? It is this idea of harmony. When things come into tune and into harmony with what God is doing, our life can look a certain way. And I think this is a picture of that. He's inviting you to join the song of creation. And so the Spirit takes what's formless and he gives it form. He takes what is empty and he fills it with life. I think about Eastern religions, and I think about religions like Buddhism. And religions like Buddhism, what they're always trying to do is they want you to, you know, to empty yourself, want to empty your mind, and want to empty yourself of all these things, and so that you can come to a place of peace, right? And it's very different from Christianity. In Christianity, Jesus does talk about getting things out, right? But he doesn't want things to stay out. He actually wants you to get the wrong things out so you can get the right things in. And he talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is how believing in Jesus is much, much different. It's because he doesn't want just our life to be empty. Actually, he has a plan to fill our life. And that's what we see here in the first pages of Genesis, that his Spirit is filling the earth. He has purpose for it. He has intent for it. And he's not interested in just emptiness. He's interested in what happens on the other side of emptiness. And that's the same thing in your life. He's just not interested in your life being empty. He wants to know what your life looks like when you invite his Spirit in and what that looks like on the other side of emptiness, right? Maybe you ask the same question. What can my life look like on the other side of emptiness? And so the Spirit breathes life into creation, and the Spirit is still breathing life into new creation today. I'm going to ask somebody to come play. This morning, when I start looking at New Testament passages, and I look at places like the Gospel of John, and I'm telling you, if you want to go see where John and Genesis, the Gospel of John and the book of Genesis overlap, you don't have to go very far than the very first lines of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and so there's this whole theme of Word and Spirit. There's this whole theme of Word and Spirit, and that's what we see in Genesis, that we have God speaking words, right, or singing the words, and the Spirit is there, that activating force moving on us, moving in our emptiness. And we see John chapter 20, verse 21. It says, and when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad that they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. Do you see this? That Jesus was sent by the Father, right? And so now Jesus is sending his disciples. How does he send them? And when he had said this, he did what? He breathed. What is breath? It's the ruach, right? He breathed on them and said, hey, receive the Holy Spirit, right? You can't do what you need to do without the Holy Spirit. If the disciples, as good as they were, right, and as much as they walked with Jesus, couldn't do what they needed to carry this message of the gospel into the world, right, because Jesus was there, he'd already went to the cross, he was resurrected, and Jesus saw, hey, you need something else. You need the fullness of the Spirit. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. What makes you think you're any better? What makes you think that you, well, I don't know about that Spirit thing. I like Jesus and I like God the Father. I'm good with them dudes, right? But that Spirit, woo, he's wild, right? He is wild. And you need every bit of the Holy Spirit. You need every bit of the Holy Spirit in your life. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And this is just how we're going to close the day, is this. Every new beginning starts with a breath. Every new beginning starts with a breath. Psalm 104:30 is what it says. It says, when you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground, right? And so the Holy Spirit wants to create in your life. The Holy Spirit didn't just create on that first day. The Holy Spirit has been creating and recreating ever since. And so this morning when you woke up, the Holy Spirit had a plan to do what? There was potential of creation, that he wanted to create something good in your heart, in your mind, and in your life. And I believe that. I believe that about every day that he gives you. I believe every day is a gift. So this morning, who would invite that? Holy Spirit, come create in my life. Holy Spirit, come fill my heart. Can we just pray that, Lord, this morning? Lord, we'd come to you now. And our prayer is that your Holy Spirit would fill us. Our prayer is that your Holy Spirit would just move on us this morning. That your Holy Spirit would fill maybe the empty place in us. Maybe your Holy Spirit would address the chaos and the mess in our mind and in our heart. Maybe there's all kinds of anxiety and depression, Lord, and there's conflict, Lord, that we've been dealing with. And this morning, your Holy Spirit is stepping toward the conflict. Your Holy Spirit is stepping toward the confusion. And this morning, your Holy Spirit wants to bring forth order out of the chaos. Lord, that's what we pray right now. Come do your work. Holy Spirit, come do your work this morning. Order our chaos. Fill our empty places. Fill our empty heart. God, the places where we just feel like there's nothing left, God, that's where you want to do your best work. And so, Lord, that's what we invite. Your best work into our heart. Your best work into our life right now. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come take your place. Do your work. We're a blank canvas for you to paint on today. Create your masterpiece. Whatever potential you want to call forth in our life, I pray, Lord, that we'd be prepared for that. We're prepared, Lord, to see you move. We want to see your fingerprints on our life. We want to see, Lord, your hand at work in what we set our hand to in this world. And so we thank you today that you love us and you have good for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this together.
You've been listening to New Life Church in Richmond Hill, Georgia. For more information regarding New Life, please visit our website at newliferh.com.